Good morning, everybody. Hi, my name is Tim. I'm the other Pastor Tim here at Faith Community Church, Tim Jr., and it's great to welcome you this morning. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for singing with us. Thanks for opening your Bibles with us, for praying for Eric. It is good to be together. If this is one of your very first times here at Faith Community Church, a special welcome to you. We're honored that you joined us this morning, and I'll be on the platform 15 minutes after the service. If you have any questions, you just want to know what's going on or anything about what I said, I'd love to serve you in any way that I can. We're continuing a study in the book of Proverbs this morning, which has been called A Guide to the Art of Godly Living. It's a full life that begins in the heart and works itself out into all of the ordinary and very practical affairs of everyday life. And today, we're talking about our words, our mouths. There are few things in our lives more practical or that expose what's really in our hearts or that contribute to a happy and successful life. There are few things that do that more than our mouths. Words are incredibly powerful things, and Proverbs has a lot to say about them. Actually, there are about 100 verses in Proverbs on the subject of what we talk about. That's more than 10% of the book is about what you do with your mouth. If I had to summarize the teaching of the book of Proverbs on the subject of our words, I'd break it down into a few headings. There's a lot in there about what our words do to our relationships, and I think you've all had experience with that. There's a lot in the book of Proverbs about the wisdom of being quiet. Actually, the primary advice of Proverbs is don't talk so much, and your life will go better. There's a lot in Proverbs about the power of our words to do good for the world, to lift people up, and to build cities, and to pursue justice. And there are the last heading I would put it under is that there's a lot in Proverbs about just the goodness and the beauty of a word well spoken. There's a proverb that says, a word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. It's just beautiful for its own sake. A word fitly spoken. But what we're going to talk about this morning is just to remind you of the power, the incredible power that God has invested in our words and why they are so powerful. So here's my summary of the teaching of the book of Proverbs. What we say is one of the most significant things about who we are. What we say is one of the most significant things about who we are, and it is one of the most powerful things at our disposal. The words of a man's mouth, Proverbs says, are deep waters. They expose what is really in us and are extremely powerful to do good or ill. Now, just so we're clear, for the rest of our time here this morning, when we talk about words, we aren't just talking about speech, but it includes what you tweet, what you post, your emails, your term papers, your sign language. It includes your nonverbal communication. An awful lot of what happens in our speech happens nonverbally, and it includes that. Our letters to the editor, everything. Whatever we use to communicate our ideas or thoughts, they're all covered under the heading of words this morning. Everybody clear? Okay, so your tweet matters, is what I'm saying. Our world is literally filled with words. If you think about it, from the moment you wake up in the morning and open your news feed or turn on the TV, it's just words, words, words all day long. And you go to work, and it's emails, and it's more texts, and it's all these other things. Until we go to bed at night, it's words, words, words. And we're going to talk about why. Why is the world so full of words? Why are they so powerful? So for the sake of time, we're not going to read all 100 verses about words, but we've printed 14 of them in your worship folder. You got your worship folder? Get it out. They're printed there for you. That'll be our text this morning. Usually we would get out the Bible, right? But because of the way Proverbs is organized, we've laid out 14 verses about the power of our words. You ready? Okay, here we go. Starting in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. To make an apt answer is a joy to man, and a word in season, how good it is. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. That 1821 in your worship folder, that's going to be sort of the outline for our morning together. So let's look at that. Life is in the power of the tongue. Let's just look at those verses again. Just look at all of the ways that Proverbs describes the life-giving power of our words, okay? It says the lips of the righteous feed many. You ever thought about your words like that? You're dishing out a meal to all the people around you, and they're taking it in, and you're either poisoning them or allowing them to feast. It says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. We can lift an entire city with our words of blessing. The mouth of the upright delivers those in danger. The tongue of the wise brings healing. With our mouths, we have the power to preserve life and to make hearts glad. Our words can bring joy. It says they're like a honeycomb. They're sweetness to the soul and health to the body. There isn't a lot else about us that can do all of those things, is there? Words are incredibly powerful. Look at 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Many times in Proverbs, we're described as a tree, and our words are the fruit of that tree. Whatever's in you, Jesus says, is going to pop out, and usually out of your mouth. Is there anything else about you that can do all the things that we just said right there? Any other part of you that can give health, bring joy, give life, make people glad, help people escape, provide healing? Is there any other part of you that can do that? Maybe in you, but not in me, okay? Your mouth sets the tone for what life with you really is like. There's another proverb, it's one of my favorites. It's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in a house with a quarrelsome wife. That cuts both ways, just so you know. Better to live on a corner of the rooftop than in a house with a quarrelsome and ornery husband. Your mouth sets the tone for what life with you feels like. And what's true of families is true of churches and communities as well. So this is an example. You know, I'm writing this week. I'm thinking about all these things. I'm in the middle of it. And I get a call from Gary Norse. Ring, ring, phew. And it's just a short call. It's about Thursday night, something about dinner for the membership class. And as he goes to sign off, he says, okay, I love you so much, brother. Bye. I'm like, see, that is what I'm talking about. So let's do an experiment this morning. This will be a lot of fun. How many people here don't like Gary Norse? Raise your hand. Nice and high. Okay. Dave doesn't like, okay. Who doesn't like Gary Norse? Nice and high, yeah. So have you ever run into someone who doesn't like interacting with Gary Norse? No. Okay, you know what, Dave? It's probably you. Okay, I'm just saying. If you don't, you know, you meet someone who doesn't like Gary Norse, it's a good chance it's them. It's their problem. Why? Why is that? Because when you talk with Gary, the lips of the righteous feed many. He has a gentle tongue. When you talk with Gary, there's just a sense that he is sincere, he's genuine, and the way that he uses his mouth blesses the people around him. What is it like to be around you? There's a life-giving, just a soul-building, spirit-strengthening way about people who know how to use their words. Now, some of you, maybe you don't know Gary, and you're cynical, and you're saying, well, maybe he's naive, he's a Pollyanna. No, he's not. He was a project manager at 3M. You don't get to be that if you're a total wimp, right? And I've had, conversations with Gary where he's expressed disappointment, but it always feels like you got a big hug, after he expresses how disappointed he was with you. So I remember when we first came to Faith Community Church several years ago, one of the things that struck me is how often you hear people in the hallway here say, I love you. Even the dudes will say, I love you, man. We'll see you later. Yeah. That we say a lot of hard things to each other around here, but when it's done according to the book of Proverbs, it blesses and strengthens and builds up. We live in an incredibly contentious age, right? I don't need to make that case for you. I don't know if you read the opinion section of the Hudson Star Observer, but that contention has come home to root here in Hudson. And what Proverbs is suggesting is that words of blessing have the power to build an entire city up. Our words are incredibly powerful. We're watching words destroy the fabric of our nation, right? So they're incredibly, incredibly powerful. Because it says death is also in the power of the tongue. You look at the scriptures again. You got your worship folder there. Death is also in the power of the tongue. Our words, Proverbs 13:3, our words bring ruin. Proverbs 12:18 says, a rash word is like a sword thrust. If you've ever lost it on someone in a rage, you know what that, if you've ever been the victim of someone's rage, you know what that feels like. It's like a sword thrust. By the mouth of the wicked, a city is overthrown. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. We murder people with our words. We destroy people. We steal. We lay traps for one another. We stir up strife and anger. Look at verse 15:4. This is my least favorite. It says that our words have the power. Imagine this power. Our words have the power to break the spirit. You can break someone's spirit with your words. I know most probably of us have experienced that. Is there anything else about you that has that kind of power? Power to break someone's spirit. And it doesn't always happen on purpose. How many times have you almost said something and then not said it? I had this experience just this morning. I saw someone, I was about to say something, and I was like, oh, that would be terrible to say. Thank you, God, that stayed in my brain. But sometimes they come out. You don't even mean to hurt someone. Sometimes you hurt someone with your words. You don't even know how, but they're completely devastated by it. Words are incredibly powerful. It's like handing a lighter and a gasoline to a toddler. And that's what it's like to have words just handed to you. They can be, incredibly devastating or incredibly powerful. Now, why is that? Because we are created in the image of a God whose words are the most powerful things in the universe. Our words matter because we are created in the image of a God whose words are the most powerful thing in the universe. God loves words. God owns them. God is the boss of words. He is the Lord of all words. He invented them and he uses them, and he is presented to us in the Bible as the speaker. Even the most skeptical recognize that the fine-tuning of the universe, thousands of variables just tuned into margins that allow the universe to exist, something must be there. There must be an author to the laws of the universe. And in the Bible, God is presented as that author. He speaks, and the constellations out into space. Protons and neutrons form elements, form crystals, which form proteins, which form, and then here you are. God just speaks, and his words are effective. They have the power to do what he sends them to do. Psalm 29 says this: the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. It thunders over the waters. It is full of majesty. It shakes the wilderness. It makes the deer give birth, and it strips the forest bare. To Jeremiah, God says, is not my word like fire and like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Words matter immensely because God is the Lord of all words, and they belong to him. Just like our bodies and our time and our lives, our words are on loan from God, and the Bible says we are going to give an account for what we do with them. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, in teaching about the power of words, he says this, chapter 12, verse 36 of Matthew, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Let me read that again. Jesus says that on the day of judgment, people, that's us, will give account for every careless word spoken. That should just, you should soil yourself just a little bit when you think about all the words you use, knowing that you are going to stand and give an account for what you did with those. He goes on to say in verse 37, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think about all the words you use in a day, all the tweets, all the posts. We talk so much, and we tend to think so little about it. But they lift up or bring down a city. They feed or they starve people. Words are like sword thrusts or words that bring healing, a tree of life or a trap. Those are some of the pictures that Proverbs gives us. So this means that when you walk in the door of your house after a long day of work, and it's been a hard day, and there's laundry everywhere on the floor, and your teenagers are half naked, just lounging on the couch watching TV, and dinner's not on the table, and life just is not going the way that you think it ought to go. What this means is that when you walk in the door, you have the power, incredible power at your disposal, to give grace and to build up and to teach, or to break your family into pieces. You have that power, and that's incredible. Your words are one of the most God-like things about you. Did you know that? And James says they can be one of the most godlike things about you, or James says a world of evil. James chapter 3 says an unrestrained tongue is a world of unrighteousness. It is a restless evil. Now, what hope? If it's true, dear friends, if it's true that we are going to give an account someday for every careless word we have spoken, what hope is there? Okay, now you all know the answer, right? Jesus, right? What is Jesus called in the New Testament? John chapter 1. The Word. What is God going to do about all the dumb words that you've spoken? The Bible says he has spoken a new word. A word that will give life to foolish speakers like you and I. Jesus is the embodiment of what Proverbs teaches about our words. Look again at all the things that Proverbs says. Jesus fed many. Jesus fed many. He delivered people. He released people trapped. He healed. He preserved life. He made hearts glad. He did all this stuff in Proverbs. Jesus is the word that we haven't been, and much, much, much more. He turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. Jesus is like a tree of life. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. There's one point in his ministry where he's doing some teaching and it's really hard and people begin to leave. Do you remember this? And he turns to his disciples and says, you guys going to leave too? And Peter says, well, where would we go? You have the words of life. Jesus washes us with his word. John chapter 15. He says, you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. In Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul is teaching husbands how to speak to their wives, he says, look, Jesus washes his wife with his word. So do that. Jesus rebukes sickness. He casts out demons. He calms storms. He even raised the dead. How? Just by speaking. Just by talking. His words have been everything our words haven't been. Now, we've been saying that the word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. If Jesus is right, and we're going to stand before God and give an account for every word that's come from our lips, every foolish thing we've said, then on what basis do we have hope? It's on the basis of what God has said. It's on the basis of his word. I remember when I was, the summer of my eighth grade year, I was in this like 3-year span where I just did not believe in God. I was with a group of my friends, and we were having a conversation about how we did not believe in God, and I remember saying out loud, I don't believe in God either. I'd felt that way for a long time, but it's the first time I'd said it out loud. I mean, I have condemned myself with my words. If I'm going to give an account for everything I've said, I am in trouble. But that isn't the only word that I've spoken and the only word that God has spoken. On the day when you stand before the bar of God's justice and the tape of everything you have said is played and the accuser is right there at your elbow, replaying for the court 100 billion failures, what are you going to say? My only defense in that day will be, Jesus Christ died for sinners like me. And you have said that those who trust in him will never be put to shame. That is my only defense, is what you have said. And 100 billion failures, vaporize. If God can speak the universe into existence with a word, surely he can wipe our sins clean with the same word. So we get to come to church and we stand and we sing together and we greet one another and we extend forgiveness and words of hope and words of comfort and we use words with unshakable confidence because God has spoken and says that we can and that he will empower it. Are you a Christian today? Could you say that today, that all of your hope rests in what Jesus has done on the cross? Could you say that today? Do not hope in what you have done. Your words alone are enough to condemn you on that day. Our only hope is that God has spoken and promised to forgive all who will hope in Jesus. He not only saves us from our words, but he redeems our words as well. And this is the last thing we'll talk about. Not only has Jesus, you know, bought us out of slavery to sin, but he has redeemed our words and our mouths and given us a new mission with them. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's on the screen. This is what Paul says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we've been given a new identity, and our words have been given a new mission. We are ambassadors for Christ. When you walk in your home, you stand in before your family as an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador is someone who speaks for one kingdom in the midst of another. An ambassador is someone who represents one kingdom in the midst of all the others. And that's what God says we are in Christ. When we talk to each other in the hallways, when you go to work, when you tweet, when you write to the editor, we represent one kingdom in the midst of another. And if it's true, so if the word of God is a hammer and fire, then that's what we're playing with. Little hammers and little fires. Now fires, right, can be really great. They can make you warm. And they can purify dirty things. Or they can burn your house down. Hammers are great. You can build your house with a hammer, or you can bust it into pieces with a hammer. That's what we get to do. And those who belong to Christ have a new identity, which is I speak for the Lord of words when I walk into my home, when I walk into my place of business, and all those other places. If you're someone this morning who regularly finds yourself wounding the people around you with your mouth, if you have alienated all kinds of relationships in your life with your mouth, if you know that your family just breathes a sigh of relief every time you leave on a business trip, and they let their guard down, and they're counting the days until you come back in a bad way, if you know that you're like that, what does repentance look like for you? I want to suggest a couple of things. First of all, it means trusting in the power of God that he has promised to those who repent and trust Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you who believe. Now that is either a lie or it's your only hope. So you come home from a long day of work and your teenagers are lounging on the couch watching TV and the house is a mess and there's no food in the house, there's nothing to eat. And just, all your expectations in life are being dashed and you can feel the self-pity and the self-righteousness rising within you. It means that repentance means that you call on the name of the Lord in that moment. You call on the name of the Lord and you just begin to plead and say, I am going to destroy these people if you do not save me right now. I need you to intervene right now. I'm asking you, please, the risen Jesus, would you come and fill me with power right now and teach me how to speak to my kids? Teach me how to speak to my spouse. If you don't rescue me right now, you know what's going to happen because we've been through this before. Repentance means trusting completely in the power of Jesus in that moment and calling on the name of the Lord. When you have asked your daughter 5 times to put her shoes on because you're going to meet your girlfriends at the park and she is still playing, and you know, if I lose it on this child right now and scream and make threats, I will get what I want immediately. And the self-pity starts to rise up. I'm going to be late again, and I'm going to look like a doofus because this child cannot obey me. And you have done it so many times. You've been through this drill so many times. What do? It means you call on the name of Jesus. And you say, Jesus, I do not want to murder this child with my words. I don't want to be thrusting the sword in. But you know what I'm like. Would you help me? Would you save me from myself and from my mouth? That's the first thing. The second thing is that you remember and you trust that God has provided everything that you need for life and godliness. 1 Peter says, God has provided everything that we need to obey and walk with him. I was sitting at having lunch this week with a friend, and he's just venting and pouring his life out, and he's angry with his church. He's angry with God more than anything. He's angry with himself because he knows he shouldn't be angry at those other things. And I'm just thinking, I don't know what to say. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what question to ask. God, help me. My words could give life. My words could heal. My words could be helpful, or I could make this worse. Would you help me? Would you give me the right question to ask? That's what I'm thinking when you're talking to me, by the way, too. You're talking, I'm just like, Lord, I don't know. And God is faithful. I can tell you God is faithful, and he's risen and he's alive because he helps you. He will help you and provide what you need when you need it. There is hope for our words because God is the Lord of them. Think about what life would look like for you if you learned to give life in every conversation and every interaction that you have. This is your homework this week. You ready? I want you to start listening to yourself. All the words that you use throughout the day, I want you to start paying attention and to remember the power, the incredible power that God has invested in your words. And that in each of your interactions, you have the power to give life and to heal and to do good. Start listening to yourself and see how God would lead you to speak differently this week. Okay? Let me invite the worship team up and I'm going to pray for us as we go. Father, would you help us? Would you make Faith Community Church a place where we speak words of life and power and hope to one another? Would you strengthen husbands and wives in our church today? We all together, we are asking you as your church, would you strengthen husbands and wives to know how to speak to one another? Teach us how to speak to our children and our roommates. Teach us to speak to our friends and our coworkers. Father, I would ask specifically that this week you would allow the people in this room an experience and an encounter with seeing their words do something awesome in the kingdom of God. We ask that all together in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.